Okay, if we can begin. The first bill, we got two bills on our agenda today. The first one, Senate File 52, Senator Skoy. Senator Skoy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, I'm here with Senate File 52. First, I would like to thank you for hearing this bill so promptly. There are time issues with regard to this bill to bring certainty to the project that's occurring at the Destination Medical Center for the City of Rochester and the DMC to have certainty as to where and what the outcome is going to be of the legislation that was passed last year. From my perspective, this is a quite technical issue to clarify the intent of the legislation. Somewhat surprising to me and also to Senate counsel was Attorney General's interpretation of our language that was quite different from what we had intended and from what is workable. And so we have brought Senate File 52 here today, which would clarify the legislative intent that we worked on last year. There are two provisions here. The first one is a provision that clarifies that the expenditures that the private industry does before the state aid payments are to commence are to be cumulative and not to be reset every year. It doesn't work at all if those are to be reset every year because they're going to be used for bonding money, and they have to have that type of certainty. And we never intended for them not to be cumulative, so this clarifies that language. The other provision here is a provision that clarifies that the money that the City of Rochester spends on their planning for the Destination Medical Center counts in their contribution. The City of Rochester's contribution is $128 million toward the projects, and those planning dollars would count toward that amount. And from the perspective of myself, as I ended up as the chair of the conference committee that dealt with this, there really wouldn't be a project if they don't have the plan, so we think that's completely appropriate. And so those are the two provisions in Senate File 52. That's what they do. The auditor had an interpretation that's different than what I have and what I think the legislature had when they passed the bill. This makes it workable, gives the City of Rochester and the Destination Medical Center Corporation certainty, and I would ask for your support and stand for any questions.
Senator Skoy, we've got a brief, it's not exactly a spreadsheet, but any comments on the dollar amounts and how that's going to work?
Sure. When we paid for the aid payments last year, we did it under the assumption that these payments would be made under the cumulative basis. So the forecast that came out after the Attorney General ruled that these weren't to be cumulative changed that number downward. Now as we change it back to cumulative, it does show as a cost. It isn't that we hadn't anticipated this cost last year. It's just that the forecast changed what we had done from last year, so now we have to pay for it again. And it's around $10 million more than the forecast cost. These costs are forecasts as they are projections of future spending. And so it's not known exactly what the project's totals are going to be and what the local share is going to be and all of that until it actually occurs. But the forecast does make some changes that we have to pay for in this bill.
Mr. Nauman, do you?
So, Mr. Chair and members, I'll call your attention to the fiscal note. Senator Skoy appropriately mentions that there was some question about, as a result of the Attorney General's opinion, whether or not the what numbers to price into the forecast. So I think an appropriate way to think about this is that the forecast for the tail years, so fiscal years 18 and 19, would have shown a slightly higher cost of about $16.7 million had there been a higher expenditure, if you will, had the Attorney General's opinion been consistent with what legislative intent was. So now what this bill proposes to do is to reinstate what legislative intent was, as stated by Senator Scoy. So now the cost of $16.7 million would be counted in the February forecast.
Okay, thank you. Questions for Senator Scoy? Senator Westrom.
Mr. Chair, Senator Scoy, maybe just refresh us our memories. These are the cost is in the form of direct payments to the city or the destination medical center, or tax exemptions?
Mr. Chair and Senator Westrom, the payment goes to the destination medical center. The destination medical center is a board of state appointees. I'm going to say seven member. I've been corrected. The payment goes to the city first, and then the destination medical center is involved. But it's an aid payment to the city of Rochester, and it's made after there is been a initial amount of private investment of $200 million, and the city also has to have made a percentage of its contribution comparable to the state aid payment at the same time. But it is a state aid payment to the city.
Okay, thanks.
Is there anyone else who wishes to testify on the bill? If not, any other questions for Senator Scoy or further discussion? All right. Let's hope all the bills go this way this year. Anybody want to make a motion, or we just... Sorry, Senator Scoy. Senator Thomasoni has moved that Senate File 52 be recommended to pass and re-referred to the Committee on Taxes.
No, to the floor.
Oh, to the floor? Okay, I'm sorry. I thought it was going to your committee. So,
no, Mr. Chair. Okay. It's a finance matter.
So the motion is just simply to recommend that Senate File 52 be recommended to pass. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
Okay, then we've got the other bill on the agenda is Senate File 1, Senator Jensen.
She'll have an A3 amendment, two spreadsheets, and an oral.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
She's not aware.
And members of the committee, ensuring that Minnesotans have what they need to recover from disasters is one of the most basic functions of government, and I'm very honored to carry Senate File 1. Before I get into the bill and present it, I believe that there is an author's amendment that can be distributed to the members of the committee, and I'd like to offer A3 amendment as an author's amendment.
Okay, that's being distributed. If we can wait till we have it distributed. All right, we've got the A3 amendment in front of us. It's an author's amendment. So this is to put the bill in the shape the author wishes. Senator Saxon moves the A3 amendment. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. So, Senator Jensen, if you might explain the bill with that amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. 37 counties and two Native American reservations were declared eligible for federal disaster assistance due to heavy rains, floods, and straight-lined winds and mudslides that happened in June, July of 2014. We were able to avoid a special session by setting aside disaster relief money in the Disaster Assistance Contingency Fund, but it was not enough to cover the state's share of all the damage that was done. So this is being taken care of in this bill, the state's share of that federal disaster eligibility for our local communities. This bill also brings funds to cover the outstanding share for those communities that were not eligible for FEMA money, and that totals about $1.4 million. This bill also provides 25% of the state share for FEMA-eligible claims, and for some previous disasters, about $300,000, and I'll have we'll walk through the spreadsheets in just a moment. That takes care of the first section. The next section of the bill covers those state roads that are not eligible for FEMA money at all, and they do qualify, though, for Highway Administration emergency funds. There's a 20% state share for that. We want to do about $3 million for that purpose. And the last thing is that the Board of Water and Soil Resources has indicated that there's a need for about $2.4 million for the 20% state share of damage that was done to agricultural land and conservation projects that are located in those districts as well. So if possible, I'd like to see if Mr. Norman could walk through the spreadsheets that you should have.
Mr. Norman, and we just tell members that what we have tried to do is to do this at a zero cost. But Mr. Norman.
So, Mr. Chair and members, if I can call members' attention to the spreadsheet-oriented portrait titled Senate File 1, Damage Costs and Appropriation Reconciliation. This is not, I'll emphasize, this is not an appropriation spreadsheet as much as it is an attempt to reconciliation a number that you will see on the subsequent spreadsheet, which could be somewhat confusing. So the total eligible FEMA, and this is essentially the reconciliation of the match. So there were, based on current estimates, $52.7 million of eligible, reimbursable, matchable costs. By federal law, states and localities where a federal disaster is declared must contribute a 25% share. That can either be at the local level, that can be a state appropriation. Minnesota has decided to make a state appropriation in the past, and that's consistent in this bill. So that would be a $13.181 million cost for those $52 million of damages. There's also a state disaster in play in this discussion, and Minnesota makes a 75% contribution of those costs, and that's $1.4 million. Then there's $300,000, I believe, from our Red River disaster in 2009, FEMA-eligible costs that we have discovered are left over. And that's $300,000. So there's a $14.8 million need, if you will, and that's essentially the goal of what the bill is attempting to do. In last year's bill, supplemental finance bill, Chapter 312, $3 million was put into the new disaster contingency account in the special revenue fund. And so that counts towards the 14.8. The governor's recommendation also identified $2.246 million of cancellations that would be from the 2011 disasters appropriations, and those dollars are proposed to be canceled directly into the account. So that leaves a $9.635 million need for the account. So if you burn that number in your brain and also burn the $14.8 million into the brain, I'll flip to the next spreadsheet. So this one's the oriented landscape. And to orient you across the top, there's a governor's original recommendation. There's the governor's revised recommendation.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Newman.
Thank you. I apologize for interrupting. Mr. Nauman says you're going to transfer to the contingency account the 9.6. Can you tell me where that money is coming from, or is that coming up in your explanation?
Mr. Chair, Senator Newman, I was trying to sequence this. It's coming up shortly.
Okay, thank you.
Bear with me a second. I think in about two sentences I can get you there. So if you look at the landscape-oriented document, the column that is Senate File 1, A3, assumes the A3 amendment that you've now added to the bill. And I'll skip over the governor's recs because they're, with one exception, largely the same as the A3 amendment. Senator Newman, on line 3 is the 9.635. That would be a general fund transfer from a transfer from the general fund to the, into the special revenue account. So now by taking that action, we have given the Department of Public Safety in the account the $14.8 million it would need to fund the disaster. There's the match requirements. There's also an appropriation of $3 million to the Department of Transportation to accomplish its match requirements for needs associated with that aspect of the disaster. And then Bowser has a request for $2.476 million. Those are both, the transportation and the Bowser are both appropriations from the general fund. That's the GF under appropriation type on that spreadsheet. The governor's rec contained two cancellations totaling $2.246 million. Those were from the match needs that were not required from the 2011 disaster. Those dollars are left over and canceled directly to the account. And I emphasize that because the next one that is different from the governor's recommendation is a $12.865 million cancellation to the general fund. And that action trues up the general fund, if you will. It makes the A3 amendment on Senate File 1 a zero-cost bill. So there were leftover that in the 2012 disaster, so this is Northeast Minnesota, there's a series of appropriations that were made that at the end of the year would cancel. And effectively the legislature, if this were to become law, is stepping in and saying, let's grab those dollars and count them against this. So that makes the bill a zero cost.
Senator Fischbach.
Mr. Chair, may I just ask Mr. Nauman to... The $12 million you're saying is canceled from disaster money? Is that where? So we're just pulling it out of one, taking it out of the general fund, just so I understand completely.
Mr. Chair and Senator Fischbach, essentially the dollars are being repurposed. They were originally slotted for the 2012 disaster. There was, you know, the disasters are typically about a 2 to 3 year process in maturation, and with a few years of hindsight, we now have an appropriate understanding that maybe we some of the appropriations that were made in that disaster were larger than we needed.
And Mr. Chair, just one follow-up with Mr. Nauman. It's not, we're not moving from a separate account. We're just simply language-wise un-earmarking it, essentially, because it's all in the general. Is that the way I'm understanding this? It's all there already. It's just a matter that it was already set aside for.
Senator Fischbach, I think that's a fair way to think about it. I'm not sure I'd use the term earmark. What I can say is that in 2012, when the legislature met for a special session and made the appropriations, these were, I won't say exclusively, but largely general fund appropriations directly out of the general fund. What's different now is that the legislature has enacted last year the contingency account, and we are handling disasters slightly differently than we did before, whereas there's less of a need for us to gather quickly to make those appropriations if there's money in the account. And that, in fact, is what transpired. The money in the contingency account has allowed the Department of Public Safety to use that $3 million to cash flow the need up until – so now we're 8 months past the event that is causing this bill, and we have a much better sense of what the overall costs are. Contrast that with what transpired in 2012, where the legislature met by virtue of not having that account. There was a requirement for a special session quite quickly, and we made general fund appropriations. Now, with a bit of hindsight, we realize that there's probably more money that we appropriated that can be recaptured and used in this purpose.
And Mr. Chair?
Senator Fischbach.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Nauman, so the $12 million that is showing here is technically, it is right now in the general fund. I guess what I'm asking, Mr. Chair, is where is this coming from?
Mr. Chair, Senator Fischbach, I'm sorry. You're asking a very simple question. I give you a long answer.
These are
general fund appropriations that's where they are. They're in the general fund.
Thank you.
Before we take other questions, I know Mr. Kelly would like to testify, I think. And maybe you could offer, from the department's perspective, some comments about the cancellations, what's happened, why it's available.
Mr. Chair, members, thank you. My name is Joe Kelly. I am the Director of Homeland Security and Emergency Management with the Minnesota Department of Public Safety. The largest cancellation that Mr. Nauman was talking about at the end there did relate to the disasters of 2012. At the time we made the original recommendation for those appropriations, we had a very large amount that were in accounting for repair of highways, roads, and bridges. The damage was there, but that cost shifted away from FEMA and the state to the United States Department of Transportation just because of the classification of the roads. So it was about somewhere near $40 million of that disaster shifted away from the state to the United States Department of Transportation, which is why we had why we have that large surplus there. For the other $2.246 million, those are just part of the moving targets for previous disasters from 2009 and 2010, where sometimes, again, appropriate money, come back, have to ask for a deficiency, sometimes have money left over. The money normally, prior to having a disaster contingency account, the recommendations are based on a preliminary assessment of the amount of damage. And sometimes those assessments are high, sometimes they're low. We think one of the features of the disaster contingency account, now that, for example, in this year, with this year's disasters, we've had about 6 months pass from the initiation of the disaster to the point of making an appropriation request, is that the data we have is much, much more accurate than we had previously.
Okay. And members, another comment. I know for questions for Mr. Kelly, but you'll recall the legislation we passed last year that set up the disaster account, and we just with the monies we had, we put limited monies into that account. The assumption is that during the budget session this year, we'll fully fund that account and leave the session with that account funded, so that depending on what happens with further disasters, if it doesn't exceed that amount, we can then proceed without a special session. Are there questions for Mr. Kelly in particular? For Mr. Kelly? Senator Westrom? Or Mr. Kelly? Senator Westrom.
Oh, okay. Mr. Chair, and maybe you just answered this, but to clarify, where would the $3 million come from to replenish this account? That's on top of the $12 million that Melman was...
Well, we'd have to appropriate the money during the session.
Okay, so this will leave the account at zero, the disaster contingency account.
Correct.
The $40 million that Mr. Kelly referred to, that's what reverted back to the general fund. 12 of that is what we're repurposing or using in this case. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Senator Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Nauman, I just want to make this clear in my mind. Without Senate File 1, the $3 million stays in the contingency account, and then, which is in the general fund. It's a separate account. And then the 9.6 and the 2.2 would be in the general fund if we did not pass Senate File 1.
Mr. Chair and Senator Miller, yes, that's correct.
Okay. Thank you.
But, Mr. Chair and Senator Miller, I'd also say that one of the features of the A3 amendment is to ensure that the bill in total has a net zero cost. So you asked the front half of that question about the 9.6 and the 3 and the 2.4, but those are in effect offset by cancellations from a previous disaster.
Sir Miller. Mr. Chair, Mr. Nauman, thank you for clarifying that, and I do understand that because of the transfer, that it is a net zero, but if we did not have it, those funds technically would be sent back to the general fund. I just want to make that clear in my mind.
Mr. Chair and Senator Miller, so if you set aside Senate File 3 and you concentrate only, or Senate File 1, and concentrate only on the the $12 million that's being canceled as part of the A3 amendment, and nothing else happened, it would be my expectation that at the end of the biennium, based on current law, those funds would cancel to the contingency account. And that was a feature of the law that was passed as part of Chapter 312 last year.
Senator Jensen, you...
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. This bill, Senate File 1, does show the importance of the Disaster Assistance Contingency Account that was established during last session, and it makes it workable, and it gets the funds that are necessary to those local communities that need that money. So I appreciate your patience to try to figure this out and make sure that we get this right, because going forward, then we would be able to utilize this Disaster Assistance Contingency Account in a way that would require us not to have a special session, and that the departments can utilize it and people get the funds that they need.
And members, again, if you recall the legislation, I'll just tell you that when we were trying to determine amounts for that contingent fund, we hit on $7 million, which was a recommendation, I believe, Mr. Kelly, from the department. It was not an arbitrary figure, but that seemed to be a figure that would be appropriate for funding needed for, say, the run-of-the-mill emergency. And, again, there's nothing magic about the $7 million. If we chose to enlarge that contingent account to something greater during the course of this session, we could do so. But certainly it would be my intent that we have at least that contingent account fully funded in the regular budget process.
And also, Johnson, Mr. Chair, please keep in mind, too, that we put in there state disaster. So this is a state share for other things other than just the FEMA eligibility. We include for the transportation highway federal, that is it, you can't get that anywhere else, and also for communities that don't qualify are eligible for FEMA. So this is important to all our districts.
And that's a very good point, because, again, with the promulgation of legislation last year, we had a lot of discussions with local governments that felt they were being bypassed with what we were doing. So we did include that local match. And this is the first legislation, or the first request we've had, insofar as an emergency disaster is concerned, where we take into account that statutory language. Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Jensen, you mentioned 37 counties, and I'm just wondering if all 37 counties met the FEMA legislation. As I recall, back in the spring or early summer, that there was, I know my county was included. At one time it wasn't included, then all of a sudden it got included, and there was some debate as to whether some of these were not and some were. And so I'm just wondering how many actually met the qualifications, all 37, or were there some ones that were picking up just to, because they feel that they have been, as was mentioned by the chair, bypassed by FEMA.
Mr. Chair and Senator Anderson, all 37 counties, and there were two Indian reservations as well that were declared FEMA eligible, and that's what, if you look at the spreadsheet, that there's one section where there's $1.4 million that were for communities that were considered part of the state declaration and were not eligible for FEMA. So this picks up 37 of those counties were the ones that were declared FEMA eligible, and two Indians. So I don't know if Mr. Kelly would like to speak to that as
Mr.
well.
Mr. Kelly.
Mr. Chair, Senator Anderson and members, there were three other counties that did not make the FEMA threshold and were not designated by the federal government for FEMA disaster assistance. They were Morrison County, that had somewhere over $300,000 worth of damage, and their damage was outside of the incident period that FEMA established. So kind of before the storm, they had a significant weather event. They qualified. They were our first state disaster declaration county. And then there were two other counties that were inside the FEMA disaster that did not meet the FEMA indicator, and those were Dakota and Washington counties. So once we had, following the state statute, once we had determined, FEMA determined that they were not going to designate them for federal assistance, the governor declared them as eligible for state disaster assistance. So the disaster contingency account worked exactly as we believed it should work during this first iteration, took care of this a portion of the of the state match for a federal disaster and took care of three other counties who did not qualify for FEMA assistance.
Mr. Chair, I do have Senator Pratt that would like to say a few words on this, too, when it's appropriate.
Yes, I'll call on Senator Pratt in just a second. But first, there's been a request for a technical change, Senator Jensen.
Okay.
Maybe, Mr. Nauman, do you have that?
I do, Mr. Chair. Overnight, representatives of Bowser identified an inappropriate word use on line 2.6 of the base bill, that instead of supplant, it should read supplement. So they recommend that change.
Okay. If there's no discussion about that, Senator Anderson?
Could Mr. Nauman repeat that, please?
I'm sorry, I'm a little bit hoarse today, Senator, but on line 2.6, delete supplant and insert supplement. So the sentence would read, whenever possible and practical, these funds shall either match or supplement available federal funding. I don't think we intended to supplement federal funding.
Okay.
Supplant.
Supplant.
We intended to supplement.
So Senator Dibble moves adoption of that technical amendment. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed. Senator Pratt, you had asked, had requested the opportunity to speak on this bill.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair and committee. I'm here to support SF1 and releasing funds for continuing to reimburse and facilitate ongoing flood relief. As you know, and as we've talked about, SF1 is a pretty bare-bones bill, really to match the state's portion of FEMA and cover other known disaster areas. But as we know, there's still a lot of unmet needs, particularly those that I'm familiar with along the communities on the Minnesota River. Using Duluth as an example, there are many needs that the state has stepped in and helped aid and facilitate outside of FEMA. And so Senator Dahl and I have been working with Bowser and Senate staff to craft a supplemental flood relief bill that we hope will be coming in front of this committee in a couple of weeks. And so I just wanted the committee to know that Senator Jensen's bill handles the immediate need, and we have some additional needs following precedent that I hope will be coming in front of this committee very soon.
Okay, thank you, Senator Pratt. And I was made aware of the request, and I anticipate we'll address it as things proceed.
Well, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Tomasoni.
Mr. Chairman, let me just add to that, because last winter was a very, very cold winter, and there were 852 cities across the state that experienced unexpected pipe freezing, and there was about over $13 million in damages to these different cities that they had to pay for out of their own funds. And we may want to consider that as part of this supplemental bill also.
Well, a lot depends on, again, what's FEMA eligible and some of the standards.
I think that as long as there's $7.5 million in damages, that it can become FEMA eligible. So we may want to add it in there.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Chair. I guess I do remember this discussion last year when you were chairing with regards to what to put in that contingency. And what was that number? I don't recall. Was it 7 million, 13 million?
7 million.
Okay. And that's the intent of the chair, to try and put that back in there again when we're all done with it.
Well, I'm sorry. The full amount would have been the 7. What was put in the bill was 3. And so that's been utilized. And again, as I think I mentioned a few minutes ago, there was an effort to take a look at using that contingent amount, or trying to fully fund that contingent amount. And in the context of what we were doing last year, we were, kind of shifting things, and everybody was interested in a number of appropriations that were made. There just wasn't quite the amount to fill it. But again, the expectation is we would do so during this year's session. That was always the intent from last year. Sir Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Mr. Nauman, for answering my questions. I just wanted a better understanding. I'm very supportive of Senate File 1, and Mr. Chair, I think the other intent of the legislation, the contingency legislation, was to help prevent special sessions in the future, because we put that money in there, and then the agencies can start utilizing that money, so we don't have to come back for a special session to appropriate that money, and that was a success. And Mr. Kelly, to you and your staff and your agency, being from a district that has experienced FEMA disasters in the past, you guys have been extremely helpful to me answering questions and to the communities that I represent. So I want to thank you for that. And this legislation is extremely important, and hopefully we can get to a point where we don't have natural disasters and we can build that contingency fund. Maybe go a year or two without one. So thank you for bringing it forward, and thank you, Senator Jensen.
Well, and Senator Miller, just relative to your district, you might recall that the author, the House author, was Representative Pawlowski. I was the Senate author of the bill, but it was Representative Pawlowski, and he had the experience directly with, obviously, your district and what took place there.
And, Mr. Chair, I believe I was a co-author on your bill
I think
as well.
So. Senator Bonhoeff.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I too, really appreciated this past interim when people were talking about, well, you have to have a special session, and we were able to say that, no, in fact, the action that was taken last session made that not have that be the path that we took. So thank you very much. I was just wondering, in terms of the cash flow, and we're passing this now, how are those communities? How are they able to access the funds to be able to do what they need to do at the time? Do they just front those funds and then this backfills, or how's the process working? And if you could just let us know how your community is doing.
Senator Jensen or Mr. Kelly?
Well, I could, Mr. Chair and Senator Bonhoeff, all four of my counties were considered ineligible for the FEMA funds, and they're doing really well. One thing is that in 2009 we had a disaster that we also had a lot of things that needed to be done, and the money that we received we put into some mitigation. So that's something that I hope, not only with this and what we're doing, that maybe that's something that we look at too. But if Mr. Kelly would like to talk to the procedure on how they access those funds.
Mr. Chair, Senator Bonhoeff, to answer the first part of your question, it is a reimbursement program. In other words, the cities, townships, and counties pay those bills up front, make those repairs, pay those invoices, and then submit them to us, and they are reimbursed. Just as a cash flow bit of information, we went through all of the $3 million, I think, running out of cash here within the last week or so. There's $27.97, to be precise, left in the account. I wanted to spend it all, but they wouldn't let me make a partial payment. And in the queue already for to be distributed to the local communities to reimburse them for those expenses they have fronted, already in the system, is now approaching about $2 million. Worth of documented invoices. We are ready to pay those as soon as the account is replenished. So the cash has been flowing.
Mr. Kelly, so with regard to the FEMA funds, when do they come in terms of in this process? I assume that's reimbursement too. Are they slower to pay, or how does that work?
Mr. Chair, Senator Bonhoeff, FEMA is side by side with us. In fact, FEMA is probably ahead of us as far as the amount of appropriation that they have available, because the federal government has ongoing set aside the full amount of their match, whereas we only had the $3 million. But FEMA is not FEMA is right next to us and a very good partner in this in that regard.
Great. Mr. Chair, and that's why we wanted to do this as soon as possible, get it onto the floor, and then make those funds available as soon as possible.
Good.
Further questions, Senator Westrom?
Mr. Chair, I think Senator Bonhoeff's question started answering mine, and I think it's kind of been answered, but I want to be sure that it's clear in my mind as well. Mr. Kelly and Mr. Malman might have mentioned this, but what actually avoided the special session? We got a $14 million need here that's calculated after the fact. We had $3 million in the contingency fund, so we had an $11 million gap, approximately. But having that $3 million to access to match the funds early on more urgent or quicker items to start on, is that what allowed you to get started? And if you would have ran out and the need was there in October, we would have been in special session? Or can you just kind of fill in those gaps if you see where I'm going with the question? I'm just trying to greater understand this, and then we can be more informed.
Mr. Kelly.
Mr. Chair, Senator Westrum, the $3 million, I mean, as someone mentioned earlier, I think Senator Jensen or Mr. Nauman mentioned earlier, it takes about 2 or 3 years to pay off a disaster, if you will, to fully reimburse the communities. We are able to very quickly, almost immediately, pay some of those what we call projects because either they are reimbursing communities directly for emergency response costs, and by that I mean things like cleaning debris off the streets where they've already paid a hauler to take that debris off the streets, overtime for first responders and other emergency services folks, and some of the other temporary work and smaller projects. So part of why the $3 million timed out well, if that, I think the part of your question, Senator Westrum, is that good timing and just the natural flow of the projects and the reimbursements as we go through the process. We tend to start a little slow and build up, again, taking care of some of those smaller things. The larger, more complicated projects, some of those haven't even begun yet because of the construction season, engineering that needs to be done, and environmental reviews, those kinds of things. So there is a natural flow, and again, the timing of this just worked out perfectly in this case with the amount of money that was available.
Okay. And Mr. Chair, so we replenish the $3 million potentially during this session. It's there. If there's no disasters next year, it sits there. And if we don't replenish it, then you wouldn't have this, this feature going forward in the interim between this session and the next session, next year's session. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair, Senator Westrum, that is correct. Essentially correct.
Okay. Further questions or discussion? Anybody wish to move the bill? Sarah Miller moves that Senate File 1 is amended to be recommended to pass. On that motion, if there's no further discussion, all those in favor, pardon, as amended. If there's no further discussion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Senator Jensen, Senator Pratt, Mr. Kelly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members
and
of the committee.
Thank
that's
you.
It.
Meeting adjourned. Chair, any idea when the next one?
Probably next week.